If you have a Bible or watch the screen, I want to read from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 to 3. I'll be starting a series, not this coming week because it's the long weekend. I think that's right, isn't it? Long weekend. But the week after, I'll be doing a series that will take us right into probably October, November. And so we'll let you know about that. But I got kind of inspired over it, so I hope I can do the same. Inspire you as well. Isaiah 43, a great verse, no doubt talking to the nation of Israel, but the application is very much to our own hearts. And here it reads so well. Listen to this. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Is that not precious? You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Bow with me, would you? Lord, we thank you for the power of your presence. We thank you for your love, your care, your goodness. We want to thank you for this passage of Scripture. And I pray you would now, Lord, enable me to speak in revelation that there might be something living would come from this verse to our hearts. We just say, Holy Spirit, touch me. Touch my heart. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Through the waters. There's something about this passage that kind of goes against me a little bit, because whenever you think of something, well, I'm going to go through it, personally, if I had my say on it, I would like to go around it. Must we go through? It seems that throughout our lives, and it can be little things or big things, is that we go through them, and we talk that to them. Well, I went through a terrible time. Well, I went through a very difficult time. Well, I went through a time. And it can be as simple as, somebody was telling me this morning while we were getting ready for the service here that they had said, they didn't need a different car. This car they were driving will run forever. And they pulled onto the freeway and the car died. And it was so hot that even the solder in the radiator melted. That's how hot it was on the highway. Now, that's not life-threatening. And yet, it's just one of those things that, boy, we went through something on that freeway. Right? It describes it, this thing that we've gone through. So just notice, through the waters, through the rivers, and through the fire. There's always this about life, that we can't go around it. And even now as I speak, I could say this, I'm sure, with some authority, that you know somebody, and maybe one of the reasons for this message today is because you know and I know somebody who's going through a personal crisis. Right? They're just going through. This is the time they're going through a crisis. Next week, next year, next month, they may not. But they are this moment. And so it's just part of life. It might be financial. I was hearing about a family that got invested in some kind of they thought it was a good thing, got involved in it, and lost a whole lot of money. I mean, their savings, as it was a scam. And they were just sick with worry, sick with, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We've lost all of our money that we were going to save, and it's gone. That's a form of a crisis. Or someone devastated by a divorce. And you know people, and I know people, that it's terrible. Nobody ever said, I had a great divorce. They never do. They never will. They say, it was gut-wrenching and terrible. And then you think it could be like an accident, something you didn't plan, and yet there it is. Or a spell in the hospital where you weren't expecting that. The next thing you find out, you're very much in the hospital under the care of doctors. It might be something that a family member has gone through, that somebody you know is in some form of trouble today, even as we speak. that they've gotten in trouble with the law, or they've gotten in trouble in some situation, and it looks very difficult. You see, it doesn't matter. I may say my crisis is severe, but it could be that yours is more severe. And when you go through it, because surely as we are standing here and sitting here together, life has that thing about it that life happens. Stuff happens. And we find ourselves not always in it ourselves, sometimes helping somebody else through their crisis, through their marriage crisis, through their child crisis, because their child has rebelled and in trouble with the law. Could anything be more gut-wrenching than to have your child in trouble and in rebellion and doing drugs? Is anything more wrenching? You would wish it was you that had it and not them. And yet it was the child, the young person. And you wade your way through that thing and you wonder if you're going to make it. You wonder if they're going to make it. It just grabs you and you feel overwhelmed. And somebody says, well, buck up. No, it's not like that. I worry you could just do that. Wouldn't that be something? A stiff upper, and just say, slap on the back. I don't think so. I don't think that would be wrong. A crisis is what Isaiah is talking about. When you go through these things. Well, I just had a birthday this summer. Thank you, by the way, for the cards and the well wishes and the emails. I had no choice in it. It was like a crisis in some ways. A 66-year-old crisis. Thank you. Thank you very much. But in its own way, I can see how birthdays can have a certain crisis feeling to it. So I just mentioned that as to include it in there. So what is the secret? Well, I know after all these years, at least in my pilgrimage, and you could maybe say the same, it's really important that we learn how to be a survivor. You need to decide this, that I am going to survive. I am going to survive. And that God, yes, God, that's who, that as we turn to Him and we call on His name, that He will show us how to get the upper hand. That is one thing you must do in a crisis, is you must get the upper hand in it. You can't say, well, how's it going? Well, not well under the circumstances. What are we doing under them? Right? What are we doing under them? I get that. I get the term. But I must rise above that, or it will crush me and destroy me and do me in. And so we ask the Lord that He would have the upper hand to gain the victory in your crisis. It may still be on. Some of these things may take a while, those finances before they work out. The situation with your child, with that health issue, it may not be just this very second, but you are convinced that I am going to go through in victory. I can't stop what's happening to me, but I can praise God that I'm not going to turn from this. I am convinced that the Lord has the answers for my life. And so we learn how to be a survivor. And you know people, and they say, I marvel how you went through all that. Well, usually they'll say, had it not been for the Lord, had it not been for my faith, had it not been for the Scriptures, had it not been for the presence of God, that I felt Him in my worst hour, in my darkest hour, God came to me and gave me a word, it is well. It is well. And that's so necessary. So whatever you're facing, whether it's the water, the river, or the fire, whatever you're facing, decide right now, and even here this morning, today, decide right now that you will get through this crisis. You will, say that with me, you will get through this crisis. It may not seem like it. It may seem bigger than you and stronger than you and more powerful. That's what it'll feel like. And yet, by the authority of the Lord, He says, fear not. And I read somewhere, I don't know where this actually comes from, because over the years I've heard pastors especially quote it, that there are 365 fear nots. Did anybody ever count that? I don't think I ever counted that, did they? There might be, but let's say there is. The statement afterwards is that for every day of the year, because we are so prone to fear, that it overwhelms us, that God has given us a fear not. So there's one for January 1st, there's one for January 2nd, January 3rd, right through the whole year. Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Why? Because we seem so prone to it. And I think that's probably true. So whatever you're facing, whatever I'm facing, I decide, Father, in Jesus' name, whether I go up the hill or down the hill or whether it's a valley, whatever it feels like, I will not be controlled by my emotions in this thing, but I am going to trust you that I will get through this. And isn't that how many times you've knelt beside a bed or you've talked to somebody and they're distraught over this divorce or they're distraught over what happened to the finances and you put your arm around them because I know I've seen many of you do this and to say, God's with you. You will be okay. You will be okay. And it floods you and you go home perhaps the same, nothing has changed and yet everything has changed. You know, you still see things, but somehow now you've been ministered to because you decided that this would not overwhelm me. And because the Lord said, it will not overwhelm you. And so we cling to the Lord. Now, this automatically asks for another question. And everybody asked it. I've asked it, you've asked it. God, where are you? Where are you? You know, the time, that Lord, that I really need you, you seem so distant to me. And I know when there's depression, and I know when there's illnesses that, like even long-term illnesses can produce depression, I think that's a fact. And we ask ourselves, where's God in all of this? Because we read the verses, but sometimes he feels distant. And I think I'm just here to tell you, that's natural. That's just how it feels. But it's not true. He has not abandoned you. He has not forsaken you. Where's God in all this thing? Right where he always was. In control. And by faith, I must believe that he's with me. I don't see him. Come on, you know that. I don't see him. I don't feel him some days. You know, all you feel is the despair. All you feel is the illness. All you feel is the trepidation, whatever it is. You feel that, but you don't feel the Lord. At least that's the testimony of many. And so I must say, Lord, somehow, some way, in the name of Jesus, I'm believing that because you have said it, I will say, and I'll come to these verses in just a moment. Turn with me if you would. Let's deal with it right now. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 is a very delightful. Okay, here we are. Verse 37, a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But Jesus, there's like this, but he was in the stern. Who was Jesus? Why isn't he rowing? Where is he? If he's in the boat, he's not doing a lot right now. He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Even the funny, I love the scriptures that they even put, why would you mention, why does it have to even mention there's a cushion? Well, just the accuracy of scripture, there was a cushion. And they took, somebody noticed that he was on the cushion. And they woke him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? It sometimes feels like that God's not personally involved. How many know that that's just the feeling you get? And you have to often assure somebody, and we read scripture together, that the Lord is with us, but at this moment we don't necessarily feel anything mentally or emotionally. Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace be still. Peace be still. Wow. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Not just a calm. A great calm. I suspect it was a supernatural calm. Because there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Or let me put it in modern, why are you afraid that I'm not here? Have you no faith? have you no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? In the middle of their crisis, Jesus calms their fears and the storm. I have had moments like that, and I felt just sick with worry. You ever had that? And you know, it's a kind of odd thing because you know what the Christian answer is. But you know that if you know in our circle, by the way, if you're new here, and like the Sunday school teacher that had this little puppet thing and said, can anybody tell me what this is? And he says, Jesus. And because that's the right answer. You just say Jesus. That's the right answer in Christian circle. I know that he will see us through, but I think the feeling that we get is that I don't feel him anywhere. It's not working. It may be working for other people. It's not working for me. And so we must always look for the hand of God in the midst of our crises. He is present, but there's a certain search. And I'll tell you, some of the best times that will be is that you will look back in your crisis and you will say, you know, it's funny. I never prayed much before, but during that time with my daughter or my son, I really prayed. I drew near to the Lord. Because we begin to look for the hand of the Lord in the midst of the crises. And so the Lord is the one that calms the storm. And I can't tell you, dear ones, I can't tell you how many thousands of times there's been little things, not maybe depending on how you measure a crisis, but so many times that emotionally I felt just devastated. You have too. And you look back and you went through that and you went through that and you went through that and you went through the court case and you went through that and you went through the accident and you were in the, you know, and it was during that time that your faith grew the most. Jesus says, where's your faith? In the midst of this, where is your faith? He expected somebody to have some. And I thought, that's wonderful. That's actually quite wonderful. And so, Lord, I don't want to lose my faith in this. I'm going to trust you that you're in the boat here with me. So we always look for the hand of God in the midst of all crises. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 and verse 6. Yeah, this is good. Very, very, very good. Be content with what you have, for he said, verse 5, I will never leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, and this is why we never be afraid of problems or trials. They may or may not come. Most likely they come. Not always in devastating, but sometimes a mild crisis. I've had lots of mild crises that it seemed like where I've lost my wallet or I lost my keys or something. And I was running around blaming everybody. Blamed the cat. He's the only one near. I said, you were near them, you know. Funny how that is. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now let's just go back. He said, because the Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I can say, you can say, the Lord is my helper. If he didn't say that first, I couldn't say the second part. Because he has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, you can say, the Lord is my helper. And he will be. And he will be doing the ages. One thing I'll go right out on a limb. When I'm come to the end of my life, I know with absolute assurance that I would be able to say, as I would right now, the Lord has never failed me yet. Not just the truth. The Lord, people have, situations have, all kinds of things have disappointed me and broken my heart, as they have yours too, but not the Lord. There's just something about his presence in your life. And I tell you, I don't even know how people handle crises many times without a living faith. I marvel. I guess that's why the black bear is handy. Right? You can choose between the prayer meeting or the black bear to deal with it. But we would say, well, to each their own. But in the light of that is that we look to the Lord because he said, I'm never going to leave you. What therapy is that? How wonderful is that? You see, the problem is fear is really at the root of all of this. I'm afraid. I'm afraid there won't be enough money. I'm afraid there won't be, my health will go. I'm afraid that, you know, something bad will happen. I'm afraid we'll have an act. You know what? On and on and on it goes. It's at the root of it. It's our root problem. And I made a little note here that fear and doubt, because in the crisis, that's often the Lord gets blamed for a lot of things. Fear and doubt are incubators of disobedience. Let me say that again. Fear and doubt are incubators of disobedience. As it begins, it incubates, and more and more and more is churning out further disobedience. And I must choose to obey. Lord, I don't understand what's happening in this situation. I don't understand what's happening in that situation. But I'm declaring you right now that I love you. I praise you. You're in my life. And we deal with it. I come against the spirit of fear. I come against doubt. And Lord, I ask you to smash those and break those that I can walk in faith, glorifying your name, blessing you. So the question is, when he says, peace, be still, what is peace, be still? See, I don't think that the peace that the Lord, peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, I think there's something different about it than any other kind. It's not the absence of evil. It's the presence of something else. It's supernatural in all of its dimension. It's supernatural. That's why when somebody says, I don't know how you went through that thing with your husband, or I don't know how you went through that job loss, that what a kicker that was. 28 years with that company and they boot you out, you know, out that door. I said, that's so odd. And yet they're not overwhelmed. I said, you're not destroyed by all this? And I think in one, and he said, well, he never failed me yet. And somehow, when I asked him, I cast all my cares on him, and I'm not feeling the terror that I would have felt a year ago. He said, there's been something happening in my life, and I'm okay. Wow. And everybody, I mean, both Christians and non-Christians said, it's amazing how that individual went through that. Yeah, it was. And yet, it wasn't him. It was this thing, this kind of peace that only God can, you can't get it, and you can't get it at the black bear. You can't get it over here, over there. It comes from only one person, that is the Lord. Because some situations, you know the horror stories that we have watched and seen on TV. How would you ever get through that had it not been for somehow the presence of God holding you and caring for you? And that we must deal with our doubt because you are betraying the Lord. He said, I'll never leave you. So therefore, I must say it and not turn away and not let fear and doubt rob me of my faith, and that I become angry at God. And by the way, God's not threatened by that I might be angry at him. He's got very large shoulders, and he doesn't mind if you rant and rail, providing you don't turn your back on him. It's the one thing. You can, to start, if you're upset at God, you can just be upset. He won't care. He'll say, yeah, anything else you want to say? Yeah, and you're never there to help me, and you're never there, and I don't know where you are, God. I'm not going to serve you anymore. Yeah, okay, anything else? No, I'm running out of things, God. There must be some more I can think about, but no. He says, no, keep looking at me, and don't turn your back on me. In the crisis, we must not turn our back on God. That's the one thing, because it betrays our unbelief and our and that we're different. See, there's something about when you walk with God, it's not that you go through, everybody goes through the same stuff. You know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. There's no, is that a Christian home? Let me go around that. It doesn't work like that. It people are prone to things just because they're a part of life. But we must say to God, cause me during this difficult time not to waver in my faith. Make it me strong in you that I, in that situation, and I have even, I remember walking down a corridor of a hospital, it was Lionsgate, actually, and I was a very, I won't get into the sermon that, but it was very difficult and very awful, actually. And as I'm walking down the corridor, I thought, like I was feeling everything they were feeling. I know these people. And I thought, what? And then I thought, you know, I'm not going to be any help. I must tap into something larger than me. Right? Because how can I come and not necessarily a pastor, you could be anybody. These things are not solved by pastors. They're just by anybody who cares. As I'm drawing closer and closer, what am I going to say? I don't know what I'm going to say. But I can't fall apart. That's the one thing I can't do. I can't fall apart because somebody, I can have my moment. I can weep and cry. That, I think God, he's fine with that. But I must decide, if I'm going to walk into that room, I have to have something that would be a help, that would be an encouragement, that would be a blessing somehow. Otherwise, I mean, it just doesn't, it would, you have nothing to offer. If your faith isn't working, that's what we have to offer, to say, listen, you're going through a difficult time. I believe God loves you and cares for you, and I'm going to pray for you. Now inside, you're flip-flop, you know, you're not necessarily feeling this, but you know it's true that if I'm going to have something to share with somebody, oh God, I must draw near to you, and that some living life can come forth. And that's how it works. I think that's how it works. So this peace is a supernatural, doesn't come from us. It's not a matter, I've got peace. Don't upset me, I might not lose it. That's, I don't know what that is, but that's not peace. Peace is something the Lord gives. I give unto you. And because I do, you can boldly say, he is my helper. I think of Colossians chapter 3. That might be worthwhile looking at as well. He said, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. What do you focus on when you're going in a crisis? The things above. The things above. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, don't set it on how bad everything is. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, this is spiritually, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, when he appears, you will also appear with him in glory. I guess the great problem, the great difficulty in all of this is, how do I make peace be still a part of my life? Because I have to speak to myself. I speak to my soul. I think in a couple of weeks from now, as I mentioned, I think I'm going to maybe speak on that about the soul. I was inspired by something I read. I think I might speak on that. I speak to my soul, peace, be still. I command you, peace, be still. That's a very powerful thing. How do I make it? I decide that the Lord is with me and that I claim his peace and his power and his grace and his goodness, all the things that go with that. Psalm 37, you might find this helpful. Psalm 37. Fret not because of evildoers. Don't be envious. They'll soon fade like the grass and like the green herb. Trust in the Lord. These are exhortations to us. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's what you focus on, these things above, right? You delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. That's what you do many, many times. Trust in him and he will act. He who brings forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still. Verse 7. Be still and before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And that is a preciousness in itself. It's a very powerful thing. I won't take time, but Hebrews 10:36 talks about that as well. So, What happens then in the crisis? So the good question would be, how long does a crisis last? I don't know. Some seem to go for a long time and some not so long. But I know this, that when when you go through a crisis, two things it teaches you. And I had this kind of drilled home in my heart the last couple of weeks. The two things if I allow it to work in my life, then two things will come out of the crisis that will be very, very, very valuable. Whether it's a business deal that went bad or whether it's a health issue, it doesn't matter what it is, it's the same thing. So number one, of the two things that are good things that come out of a crisis. Number one, to be grateful. It makes us grateful for all the good things in your life. That's the time, Lord, I want to thank you. I thank you for this. And I go down the list. You can focus on it and be grateful for it. And to be very aware, beware of bitterness. Oh, it's so easy to get bitter. So easy. It's easy to find fault with things when you're going through a crisis. So you choose, as you yield to the Lord, then you don't sweat the small stuff. There's lots of small. Oh, there's so many things that you could find, what else is in your life. But how about thanking? What if I was to going through a crisis and I thank God for Val, and I thank God for Rex, my friend. I thank God for these guys. Thank God for these guys. And Lord, I thank you that I've got food to eat. And I thank you, God, I've got people that care about me. I got a church that prays for me. These are the kind of things you focus. This will come forth. You'll be so great to say, I was always kind of this and that way. Not anymore. I'm just thankful that I'm alive. I'm just thankful I survived the surgery. I'm just thankful that I walked away from that accident. I haven't gotten any grip anybody. I don't want to be mad at anybody. I'm just glad to be here. I'm just so thankful. So much going good in my life. Many things I could say. I wish it was different. But as you focus on the goodness of God and the gratefulness in your heart, and think of all the good things that are happening. Not the one thing that's gone wrong, but the other things that you could focus on. And out of it comes this gratitude. It's a very, very, very powerful thing. So don't sweat the small stuff. And the end of that is, hey, for the most part, it's all small stuff. That 20 years from now, 2 years from now, some of these things you won't even remember hardly. And I'll say, remember that thing you went? Oh, I don't remember. Did I go through that? It's kind of passed away. At the time, it was very real, but it's gone on something. So it's all much of the small stuff is, don't sweat that, because that's not going to, it's just not going to make any difference one way or another on that. It's always the small stuff. There's another thing that comes with number one here. When we're grateful for all things, it seems to bring that out in us, we realize that every day is a gift. Every day is a gift given by God lovingly to us. I'm glad for life, aren't you? I'm grateful. Grateful that I got today. Tomorrow, we don't know. Right? We don't know. So we have to give our tomorrows over to the Lord, not to be anxious, but just to give it over to Him. And to realize that today, here we are, folks, on this day in August. You got anything that you could see as a gift? Yeah, you're here. I could take you to one of the nursing homes or to the hospital, and as you walk in and you walk, people would give anything to come to church if they could. Anything. You're so lucky, they'd say. I wish I could get off this bed. I wish I could do this or that. Yeah, I know. Let's thank God this day is like a zillion dollars. Right? We got sunshine. We got so many things. And I say, God, I just want to thank you for that. Crisis bring that out. There's a tenderness that comes into it. There's a kind of don't need to make a big deal about it anymore. It's not so important. This other thing has become the greater thing. So to every day is a gift. So be grateful for all things in it. And I remember when I had that bout with, vertigo, thank you. I had several of these. I don't know what that was. But I was sitting in a, because I was afraid to lay down because everything was going really crazy. And so I'm sitting in this chair, and for weeks, a couple of weeks anyway, sitting in the chair, sleeping. Amazing what you can learn to do. I don't think I've slept any better since, but there I was sitting upright. And I was overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude that I said, I know, Lord, this isn't going to be forever. But I sure wish the world would stop spinning right now. And it made me think of how many times people went through things, and I should have taken more of an interest in that. Right? You begin to think of other people, and how little my little thing is, and how serious people are have other things. Right? Just gigantic serious stuff, and it just makes you kind of realize that, wow, God, how blessed am I, and how thankful we are. He's passed on now, but there used to be a fellow pastor. He was pastor of Queens Avenue Church in Calgary, Harry Roberts, and he comes from that place where Lauren Pritchard and all those guys come from. It's kind of a preacher factory where I don't know how that works, but there's 28 preachers in the small town. How did they all come from, right? Anyway, it's Harry Roberts that I'm thinking of. He had a severe back injury, and he had the surgery, but the doctor said, you're going to be laid up for a long, long, long time. This is pretty serious stuff with those vertebrae. And but he wanted to be part of what was happening at church, so he couldn't preach, but he decided to lay down. He found some relief if he could lie down on his stomach at the back row. Richard, you know this, brother. In the back row of the church, he would just lay out his full length, and then he could hear the service, and he'd just be at the back laying straight out. It's an idea for some of you. And so people came along. He said it was a kind of an interesting lesson. He said people came along and said, I guess you should have prayed more. There was that group. Then there was a group that said, you don't have much faith or you'd be healed. And that was that group. There was a few other people that said, you probably got what you deserve. You know, I didn't quite say it that way, but old grudges. He said, there was only one that touched me deeply during that very painful, painful time. And I'm all ears by this time. And I said, what worked for you? He says, this dear man, no piety to it. He said, he just knelt down beside me, got right down in front of my face. He says, Harry, hurts like hell, doesn't it? He says, you'll be okay. Walked out. He said, I was filled with joy. Somebody finally identified with what I'm going. It hurts like, yes, it does. And rather saying you shouldn't have this, shouldn't be going, he simply said, I'm here for you. That's what he was really saying. I'm here for you. I know it hurts like. So this is my second point. Because of a crisis, we have more compassion for those going through the same ordeal. That situation that only you could respond to here this morning. Lots and lots of exhortation many times, but to be able to identify, to come close, because you have been there. That's why when I was through a divorce, I said, listen, can we use you to talk to those people because you've been through that. Somebody else is feeling overwhelmed. You had that. So could you come with me? And because you know, there's something about it, isn't there? That when you've gone through something, that you are more compassionate, more caring. It's a powerful, wonderful thing. And that's what you learn. Number one, to be grateful. And number two, to have more compassion. Because the Lord he wants, excuse me, to grow our love. I must, that's all of the purposes of these things. I must grow in love. And God will use them as I honor him and bless him. Amen. Amen. Well, if you've been visiting, sometimes in this service, we just take a moment to reflect on what's been said and to add people's insights. I think we're doing okay for a couple of minutes. Would you like to, what did you hear the Spirit say that might be helpful for the rest of us. Yeah, please, Lauren.
Yeah.
Yes. That's very good. It doesn't create character, it reveals it. That's great. That's very powerful. Somebody else? Yeah, please. A couple of weeks ago, I was in West Vancouver sitting on a bench. Hope that's not my future. Waiting for Val. And this guy came, I sat beside him actually, and he just immediately turned to me and told me about his surgery. And in 2 minutes, I mean, yeah, he said, I shouldn't even be here. He said, I almost died. I said, but you didn't, you're here. Yeah, he said, I just walked up to the top of 15th. Walked up 15th, you know, upper levels high up there. I said, wow, and you had me. Yeah, they gave me up. As a matter of fact, they wouldn't do any surgery because they thought I was too far gone. And he said, I had to lose a little weight. He said, I dropped 300 pounds. Big guy. And I said, well, it's something. I said, isn't it amazing? Here you are telling me the story. You must be thrilled. They gave you up for gone, and here you are. You're very much alive. No, I'm going to sue them. You're going to sue them. Put your own word in. I said, why? Because they made a mistake in the surgery. They're going to pay for this. See, I tried it, then I had to go. See, you have everything. You're alive. You're walking up a very steep hill. You shouldn't be able to do that. You're doing that. Why in the world? See, that's just the point. It revealed something. I wish I could have talked to him longer. I don't know if it would have been any open. But just to show you the different approaches to life. Somebody else. Yeah, please. Yes, there it is, because God was with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else? This is good. Yeah, Vic.
Well, this whole sermon is striking a chord with me in so many ways because I've been through a lot in my life too. Death in my family, divorce, unemployment, debt, and all that. But one thing that's really hits home with me too is where God will never, says he'll never leave you or forsake you. Over a year ago, I was about to face bankruptcy. And I picked up this book that I had been reading, and this fellow was telling the story of his trip to Israel with his parents. He had gone through divorce and battled addiction and depression. And this one morning, his parents were going to go on a trip to the Dead Sea Valley, and they wanted him to come, but he didn't feel like going. But his mother sensed that there was something going on, battling his soul. And she said, "Son, come with me. Come with us. This will be good for you." So he went on that trip, and as he's walking, he saw a raven flying over his head, carrying the blood in his beak, and then it dropped it at his feet. He thought, "What's the story? What's the meaning behind this? Is this something?" And he told his mother about this. He said, "Son, it's maybe nothing, but this could be God telling you that he's got his hand on you. You're going through a lot right now, but don't give up hope. This too shall pass. Let us all press on." And when I read that, I felt God telling me that. I can't tell the story without weeping. You know, God met him that morning in that special way and said, "You're going through a lot, Vic, but don't give up. Press on. This too shall pass." And that morning, I wept, I cried, I prayed, and I gave.
Yeah. Amen. That's good. I think on that note, let's stand together. You know, we have the body of Christ together here to pray for one another, to lift each other up. And I know you'll continue to pray for the Messenger family as they deal with their grief and their great sense of loss. So remember them in prayer, and we invite you to come to the service just to support the family and to be here and to on Saturday at 10 o'clock. But we're glad you're here this morning, and we'll just close in prayer. Lord, you're a great and mighty God. Lord, nothing ever happens to us that it doesn't first have to go across your desk. We thank you for that. We pray for anybody and everybody, Lord, who is just facing a situation that's been very difficult for them. Lord, I pray that the peace of the Lord would just flood over their soul and over their heart. We thank you for Vic's testimony that we pass through. These things have not come to stay. They've come past. They go on. And we thank you for that. Lord, make us sensitive to each other, to the blessing that we could be if somebody is under it. What a joy it would be if we'd be able to lift their arms and say, "Listen, I'm glad to be here, part of your life." So thank you, God. We love you. You're just the best, Lord, just amazingly wonderful. We thank you. And Lord, we're thankful for the gift of this day. We're so thankful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Yeah, amen. Join us on the patio if you can. It'd just be good to see you out there. Thank you.